Hello and welcome to another edition of the End Zone Podcast. My name is Eric Jensen, and I am joined by Christian Castain, John Butler, and for the first time ever making his End Zone Podcast debut, Tristan Beckman, all the way from Louisville, Kentucky. How you doing, Tristan?
Good, man. How are you guys doing?
Excellent. Yeah, it could be better, could be worse. World Series is on tonight. We talked about that last time. What a crazy game two that was. That is baseball I can get on board with, constant home runs. I saw an interesting blueprint where it was the Dodgers Stadium compared to Minute Maid Stadium. And Minute Maid Stadium, like their boundary for the home run ball is like 20 to 100 feet shorter than Dodger Stadium.
Yeah, so, Dodger Stadium is definitely a pitcher's park when it comes to it. And that's the thing is, baseball is weird like that because so many stadiums are so different. Like, Yankees is a launching pad for home runs. The White Sox guaranteed rate field is a launching pad. But then you have some places like San Francisco and Dodgers that are just completely different. It is weird.
Yeah, it is super weird. You'd think that they'd have one regulation size field. No one else does that. Like soccer, no matter what kind of stadium you're playing in, like it, you're still playing on the same amount of pitch. Football, no matter what stadium you're playing in, still 100 yards. Hockey, still the same amount of rink, no matter how big the building is. That's an interesting factor. Yeah, I didn't get that.
I mean, they've got minimums that the walls have to be, but that's about the only thing you have to do. You can make your park the inside of your park 500 feet long if you wanted to, but you're never going to hit home runs. But
right.
It's really odd. I like it because each stadium has their own kind of
it's unique
feel to it then. Yeah, exactly.
So we'll get to baseball now, I guess. So who do you guys got in this game? I'll start with you, John. I love the Astros, but I feel like Yasiel Puig's in for another big night. I think I'm taking the Dodgers here.
It's tough because right now as we're recording, it's 1-0 in the bottom of the second. I still think the Dodgers have a ton of chances here. The Astros are way better at home, but I'm going to still take the Dodgers with Yu Darvish on the mound.
I don't know. I feel like this is a huge game for the Astros. I think either this game or the next game is a must win. You have to win. You have to go even at home. I think tonight's their best chance, so I'm going to take the Astros tonight.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Astros. I just feel like their home. I mean, home field advantage is huge throughout the playoffs, and after watching them make the Yankees collapse, I am all in on that Astros team. They are stacked, and I think they have the advantage tonight.
All right. So, Tristan, we'll get into football here in a second, but we always have some questions we ask our guests, so we'll get into it. How are we fan-wise? Who do you root for?
Well, I am a Denver Broncos fan, technically a Los Angeles Lakers NBA fan, even though I don't watch NBA, and a New York Yankees fan, along with the University of Louisville Cardinals.
Ooh,
the local.
Rough.
You are all over the place.
Yeah, rough scheduling. I meant only NFL, but you got in there and you took your punches. So, I mean, let's just figure out what your NFL team is here. So the Broncos, of course. Who is your favorite player?
Favorite player in the NFL. Yeah, but I like Von Miller, but like if I had to go favorite player, I'd go with David Johnson. I mean, I like him as a player. I think he's very humble, and I like that. You know, from Northern Iowa, that's not a college you hear a lot of football players from. I'm just saying that. And then he's really good, and I like the way he plays. He's exciting to watch.
Yeah, that's an odd one. We haven't had that one yet. And, of course, your favorite player of all time.
Ooh, Peyton Manning. I didn't even have to think about that. I don't even know why I went like that. But Peyton Manning, I own like 4 Peyton Manning jerseys.
Same. I own like 3 Peyton Manning jerseys. I own the alternate, the away, and the home. I have too many Peyton Manning jerseys, but yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
Best player you could hope to have out there on the field. Moving on to the games. First, a little though about the game last night. A game that honestly, Chris has a lot to feel embarrassed about. I'm surprised he was able to show his face on this show. At halftime, he said, quote, "The Dolphins a lock to come back in this game." That did not go well for you, buddy. They got shut out 40-0 and looked awful. And you thought Matt Moore could save them, and you picked them to go to the playoffs. And they're not winning more games than the Chargers. And I have a good old gallon of sweet tea riding on that. So send it my way early, because I'm telling you right now, the Chargers are going to rack up some wins here pretty quick. And I don't see the Dolphins winning another game on their schedule.
Well, it's not going to start right now.
I mean, Cutler was only out this week. They say he's likely
Cutler's
to play
awful.
Next week.
Cutler's awful.
He's
like,
better
you
than
guys,
Matt Moore, though.
No. You guys need to stop giving credit to Jake Cutler. He's a terrible quarterback.
He's not worse
just
than
as
Matt
bad,
Moore.
If not worse than Matt
they're
Moore.
They're 4-2 under him.
Yeah, they're 4-2 under Cutler.
Oh, they're 4-2 under him. It's a fluke. They're not making the playoffs. The best they'll do is 6-10. End of story.
So I guess the Chargers 0-4 start was a fluke.
Yeah, it was, because look at them now. They're on a roll. They've won 3 straight, and look, they're going into Foxborough, and spoiler for you, I'm picking the Patriots.
Look at who they played.
Oh, come on. They're going to prove you wrong this week, and we'll get to actually, this Thursday night game isn't even worth talking about. Joe Flacco got a late hit. Kiko Alonso should be suspended, blah, 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 blah. Next week, probably Ryan Mallett. Gross. All right, moving on. Let's start with Chargers-Patriots, and let me tell you why the Chargers are going to win this game.
They're not the
listen.
Somebody is energetic tonight.
Listen, that's not the first game this week.
young man, let me tell you a little bit about this game. Dante Hightower is out for the year. So the defense is terrible, awful, just gone. And I know that you like to say, oh, they shut down the Falcons. Well, the Falcons can't score points. They can move the ball up and down the field, but they can't score points. And they put up 475 yards on the Patriots. Now, I think Phillip Rivers, who's coming into this game as hot as ever with his new friend and his big weapon, Travis Benjamin, who is the fastest man in football, I think they're going to tear this Patriots defense apart. And let me tell you something.
Yeah.
Do you know who Melvin Ingram is? Melvin Ingram is PFF's top 5 rated linebacker.
You said PFF was the worst.
Bosa. Listen, let me tell you something. I'll pick and choose stats how I like to pick and choose stats. And let me tell you right now that right now, and here it is, it's coming, it's been coming for a long time. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to lock it up. The Chargers over the Patriots, 24-17 in Foxborough. That's my lock of the week. You guys tell me why I'm wrong. I'm going to step away from the computer for 5 hours and not come back, because I just dropped a mic on you. And I'm going to tell you right now that the Miami Dolphins will be lucky if they win another game this year. They're awful, John. They're awful. Don't get on the wrong side of his trade. John, you want to be on my side when the Dolphins
lose out. You lost your damn mind.
Well, guess what?
I should have been on that 13-3 Chargers bandwagon.
Oh, should have been, and you're going to regret it, because I hate to break it to you, but this Chargers team's making the playoffs as a wild card team, and then they're going to turn some heads when they get in, unless they play the Jacksonville Jaguars, in which case they're done. So, on to what you think, obviously, and Tristan, obviously, just this was honestly, Tristan, if I had to say top 10, just like angry fueled football like nonsense, this has to be a top 5 for me.
We've never seen it on this podcast, I guarantee you that.
That's some nonsense that you just said.
It's a lock. And Chris, you better stop your laughing, because let me tell you something. Not only will the Dolphins lose out, they will start next year.
Oh, please.
And I'm locking that up right now. Projecting the next year, too. They're a bad team. They don't have the core. Adam Gase, I love Adam Gase. But Adam Gase doesn't have the talent to take that team anywhere. Adam Gase is going to get fired.
Just remember
0-4.
Just remember 0-4 start. Los Angeles Chargers. 0-4
start. What? It doesn't matter how a team starts. It matters how they finish. And let me tell you something. The Chargers finishing stronger than the Dolphins. I'm done.
Anyways, this is a weird game just because of the way that this season has gone for both teams. Chargers are obviously hot, like you said, Eric. Patriots are still looking good, and they're hard to stop on offense. And honestly, the Chargers' defense hasn't been great this year so far. They've looked better. The big concern for Tom Brady has got to be his offensive line, which he's been absorbing sacks all year. He's been absorbing hits. I have a bit of concern for that. I'm still going to go with the Patriots just because of the fact that they have that offense. I think we're going to see a lot of Deion Lewis in this game. He seems to be their main running back again. After dealing with an ACL tear, I believe, last year, and finally coming back, I've got the Patriots in this one, and I think we see a lot more running. So.
Oh, yeah, the Patriots will win this game. I mean, that's 100% sure. I'll lock it up right now, 35-14.
Do we have a lock-off?
The Chargers are not
lock-off here on the End Zone Podcast. And let me tell you something, Christopher. You're going down. This isn't going to end pretty for you. So we'll see you Sunday.
This week it will. This week it will, I promise.
No.
Patriots will win this game.
I got the Patriots too, man. I mean, I feel like the NFL has made no sense this year. I honestly see the Patriots defense locking up the Chargers.
Please.
I don't think the NFL's made sense this year. I think that's that trend.
Absolutely. I really haven't bet on the NFL this season like I normally do, just because of the fact that it's so hard to tell what's going to happen. And a big thing for the Chargers is Melvin Gordon's been banged up, so they've been kind of dealing with that as well.
And he's not been playing as well as he did last year. I mean, he's struggled. He's had some really good games. He's had like two good games, and he's really struggled. Like,
mm-hmm.
And he's supposed to be there.
Moving on to there are a lot of bad games this week, and we're just going to run through and really pick them. And if anyone sees anything on this list that isn't a bad game, we can talk about it for a second. But we're going to start with Vikings-Browns. I'm taking the Vikings. What about you guys?
I've got the Vikings, and everyone remember this is an early game in London, so it's going to be different for your fantasy team, so be ready at 9:30 in the morning. Make sure you got that going. But the Vikings got there early from what I saw. I've got the Vikings.
Yeah, I bet the Vikings by 21. This won't even be a close game, I don't think. I just don't see it from the Browns. The Browns haven't looked even like an average team. I don't even know if they're a professional team right now, to be honest. So Vikings easily.
Yeah, I've got the Vikings. I suggest not even waking up for this game, honestly.
I agree.
Get some sleep, dude. Don't wake up at 9:30 to watch the Browns play. Oh, Colts. Lord.
Colts-Bengals. Jacoby Brissett, as much as I love the guy, has had two really, like, ever since the second half of the Titans game, really two bad games. So I hope he bounces back against the Bengals. I'm not confident in the Colts defense, so I'm taking the Bengals here.
I'm with you on that, Eric. I've got the Bengals.
Yeah, I got the Bengals. I don't think the Colts are good enough.
Yeah, moving on to the next game we have. Eagles-Niners. Carson Wentz coming off the big
Redskins.
Win.
They're playing the Redskins.
For Redskins on Monday Night Football. A big game for Wentz, who looked like an MVP candidate. Big game against the 49ers. I'm taking the Eagles here. And should be a bloodbath. So I'm taking the Eagles.
It should be an absolute blowout. I think the Eagles are favored by 11 points. Carson Wentz is going to do what he's been doing all season and make that case even stronger for MVP. I'm going to lock up the Eagles this week. Easy one.
That's a cheap lock. I discredit it.
Yeah. I have 35-7. this the blowout.
The Steelers and the Lions, not necessarily a bad game, but the Lions are a struggling team. Do we see them bouncing back on Sunday Night Football? I think the Steelers are too hot right now. I got the Steelers.
I've got a lot of questions just because of the fact that the big concern there is how the Steelers play on the road. They've looked better. They've been going more with the run game, but we've seen them how they are on the road. So I really don't know. I'm going to go – personally, I've got the Steelers. I think it's going to be pretty close, though, still, even with the way the Lions have been struggling.
Yeah, I like the Steelers. I never like Big Ben on the road, but I just think the Lions, they're struggling. Stafford, he's thrown a lot of interceptions this season. Doesn't look worth the contract they gave him at all.
That's weird. I don't know. I think Matthew Stafford's struggles is a product of the offensive line being bad and the fact that he has no wide receivers to throw to.
He's also been banged up, too, with that leg of his, so that makes a big difference.
Tristan, you just barely started listening to this podcast, but we were talking about him at the three-game mark of a season as like a top-five quarterback, so... I think, and that was when everyone was healthy and everything was clicking. So I think that the fact that he's struggled a little bit just because there's no offensive line protection is really a symptom of that. But so Chris, you have the Steelers. John, you have the Steelers. I have the Steelers. Tristan, who you got?
Yeah,
Steelers. Close game though. Close game. Actually, a very good game. I could see it get very close.
So we are just getting rid of the bad games here. One more bad game to get to. Bears-Saints, not bad for John, a Bears fan, but I really don't see Mitchell Trubisky throwing a lot in this game. The Saints passing defense, cornerback Marshawn Lattimore has been fantastic all year. I could see Jordan Howard going off for a big game, but I trust the Saints more, and I trust the Saints defense, and I think this might be closer than people think. But I think I got to take the Saints here, and we'll throw out scores for this game. I'll take the Saints 24-13.
I think this game is going to be – I think we're going to see Mitchell Trubisky really open up this game. The reason they've had – 3 weeks of limited throwing is because look at the teams they faced. Vikings on Monday night, who's one of the top defenses. It's number three in points per game. You've got the Panthers, who were second in sacks going into that game. So you don't want to get your quarterback killed. And then Baltimore, while they're not a great defense, they ranked first in interceptions going into that game versus the Bears. And the biggest thing with the Panthers game is your defense got you a 14-point lead. There's no reason to throw when Julius Peppers and Kawan Short are looking the way they are. But the fact that it's in New Orleans, the playbook's going to be opened up because it's going to have to. And it's the fact that the Saints are just so fast at home. They are so good at home in that dome. They built that team around that. And I think we're going to see Mitchell Trubisky throw at least 20 times in this game. Even though the Bears' defenses look good, they're not going to be able to limit that Saints offense too much, especially with the way that Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram have looked. I'm going to go Saints. I think it's going to be a lot closer than people think. So I'm going to go Saints 27, Bears 20.
I have a similar score line. I just don't think Mitchell Trubisky will be able to put up enough against the Saints defense. The Saints defense has been quite improved into going into the season, and especially over the past several games. Ever since playing that 20-0 against the Dolphins, they've played fairly well. So I'm going to pick the Saints based on their defense improvement and defense. I'm going to pick 24-21. It's going to be a close game. I just don't think the Bears have enough offensively.
And Tristan,
I have to say, I feel like this is going to be a very interesting game. I feel like John said, they're going to have to open up Trubisky one point or another. I think this is the perfect opportunity to do that. But I think this is going to be a lower than most expect. I think the Bears are going to start off with, and they're going to take a lead early. But I think that the Saints in that home field, I think they're going to come back and win 17-16.
Be right
moving
there.
On to the next game this week, which will be Bills Raiders. A big game for the Bills and the Raiders. Both these teams, bigger for the Raiders. If the Raiders lose this game, they basically have to win out if they want a shot to make the playoffs. And yeah.
I agree with you. This is going to be an interesting one, especially after what we saw from the Raiders this past week against the Chiefs. I don't know what to feel about the Raiders because they look good. They didn't let the Chiefs run all over them or pass all over them like we thought. And they show the ability to really keep coming back. Now, the biggest thing here is we've seen Amari Cooper break out, and he doubled his total yards for the year. And I this feels like a game where he goes back to what he was doing the first few weeks, where he's going to have drop passes. He's not going to be able to get open. The way the season's gone, I feel like that's going to happen. We're going to see Amari Cooper regress back to what he was.
One thing interesting for the Bills in this case is they just traded Marcel Darius to the Jaguars. Star defensive tackle there for a while. But what is missed on that is even though everyone says star defensive tackle, he hasn't put up the best stats the past few years, ever since he got a big contract. And it's a great trade for Jacksonville because it adds depth. But I don't think he was really being a game changer in Buffalo. What do you guys think about that? Do you think that affects how this game is played?
Oh, Darius is good. He's very good, but he wasn't really playing that well this season. I don't know.
A lot of what Darius did, though, was eat up blocks at the line, so everyone else was able to go one-on-one and be able to try and beat their man. Darius has always been that. Eat up the center of the line, try and take as much pressure off everyone else as he could.
Alexander, a little right outside linebacker, who was like had a lot of sacks last season, played up a lot of those blocks. You know, it's the person who leads the NFL in sacks a lot of the time. They're playing against alongside a guy like J.J. Watt or something.
Yeah, I personally,
I've got the Raiders in the team. Even though the Bills are getting Jordan Matthews back and they had ex-Bears receiver Deontay Thompson go for 107 yards last week, I still can't believe in him. I've got the Raiders in this one.
For me, Marcel Darius doesn't really affect this game. I don't think he was as big of a – he's not as big of a key player because he hasn't – like Tristan said, he hasn't been playing as well lately. As far as the pick, I'm going to pick the Raiders. I think their offense is starting to click, especially after what we saw last week against a pretty good Chiefs defense. So I'm going to pick the Raiders in a close one, probably 27-20.
Yeah, I got the Bills. I think they've been really good at home this season. I like this to be a close game. It's going to definitely be a close game. I'd say Bills 30-27.
Yeah, that sounds. I think the Raiders are hot right now. I think they win this game, and I'm taking the good old Oakland Raiders in this game. Moving on to our next game, which happens to just be the Chargers. Oh, we already talked about Chargers Patriots.
Falcons-Jets is our next game.
Falcons-Jets. This is a surprisingly big game for both these teams, really. The Jets, no one here, I don't think, believes they can make the playoffs.
No. But
if they wanted to stay in the hunt, I think they'll stay in the hunt until December. But for that to happen, I think that they have to win this game. And I think for the Falcons, their offense has to show up this game, and they have to win this game, or they're done in the NFC South. This is a big game for both these teams, bigger for Atlanta, but I'm really interested to see how this game plays out. And I know that Chris is our resident Atlanta Falcons fan and very unhappy with the way his team is doing right now. So I'll leave it to him. Chris, what's going on in this game? Who's winning and what's up with both these teams' seasons?
As far as what's on the line, I think for Atlanta, if they lose this game, the season's over. I don't think they can make the playoffs. The schedule is so tough after this. You got Carolina, you got Dallas, you have Seattle, and then you go to and you're back at home at Tampa Bay. But once you get beyond this stretch after the Jets, I think I just don't see many winnable games, especially the way they've been playing. Six quarters, they score 7 points. Or four quarters, they score 7 points. 7 points. That's just unacceptable. That's just unacceptable. And I think Steve Sarkisian takes 75% of the blame because we've seen Kyle Shanahan in this offense. I believe we'd be seeing something similar to what we did last season. So I think play calling's been rough. I'm picking the Jets because the Falcons haven't played well against AFC East teams. They're 0-3 against that division. For some reason, they just don't play well. They either lose a lead or they just don't show up. Whatever reason may be, they just don't play well against those AFC East teams. So I'm going to take the Jets in this one in a close one, 20-19.
Yeah.
You want this one, Eric?
No, Tristan, you take over.
I like the Falcons to win this game. I still don't have my full trust in McCown at quarterback. I mean, the Jets are definitely not making the playoffs. They could win six games, though. They could definitely do that. They're scheduled. They're 3-3 or 3-4. But, I mean, they haven't played the best teams. You know, they get one free win against the Browns, I guess. But all they do in this game is at least score. I mean, the Jets are 20th in pass D. Just run the ball. I mean, they've shown that they can run the ball. I think it's ridiculous what they're doing with Devontae Freeman. I mean, but that's up for Chris to whether or not giving him as many touches as he should be getting.
Yeah, I can't really tell you. I think it's, like I said, play calling has been everything that's wrong in Atlanta. I would say, maybe not everything, but 75% of it, because it just seems like play calling just went downhill ever since Kyle Shanahan left, even in that Super Bowl. For some reason, I'm not sure. It just doesn't make any sense to me why they're not running the football with Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman. And you have the offensive line to run the football. Run the football.
Yeah, Matt Ryan's struggling. None of us know what's going on there. I mean,
personally, I feel like the biggest thing is Matt Ryan doesn't look like he feels comfortable in that offense. The biggest thing last year is he looked strong. He looked confident in the pocket, and it looked like he knew what was happening on the play. This year, he looks confused. He looks unsure. I don't know whether it's the route combinations or it's just the general play calling of.
Well, y'all remember
out there, but it seems like they're not trying to use Julio enough. But even then, it's weird.
One thing to keep in mind is in Kyle Shanahan's first year, Matt Ryan looked very similar. I think he played a little better in the 2015 year than he is right now. But it took a year for Matt Ryan to get used to the system and the play calling. So I've not – that's a possibility, but I just don't like what I'm seeing on play calling in general. I think there's no reason not to run the football. They're just – I think Devontae Freeman should have at least 500 yards right now, and he doesn't.
I think that Matt Ryan, and this is certainly not a dig at Matt Ryan, Chris, I think that when you really boil it down, the NFL has three or four quarterbacks that aren't system quarterbacks. Like, I know that people throw out system QB and whatever all the time, but if you break it down, like, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, and Russell Wilson are the only people I think you could throw behind any brand new offense, and they'd have tremendous success. I think Matt Ryan and most of the quarterbacks in this league thrive if they have talent around them. And right now, the play calling isn't there for Matt Ryan, and that delves into talent. Like we talked about it on Tuesday's show, Trevor Siemian is only as good as the talent around him. It's the same with Matt Ryan, and that's not a dig at Matt Ryan. It's just people think that there are all these different tiers of quarterbacks. There's not. They're all based – if you took all of Kirk Cousins' weapons away from him, he wouldn't be a top 10 quarterback. If you took all of Carson Wentz's weapons away, he wouldn't be a top 10 quarterback. It boils down to, whereas this is such a quarterback-driven league, there just aren't that many, like, elite quarterbacks in the league. There are two or three.
I'm going to disagree with you there because I think the talent around Matt Ryan is very good. You have Julio Jones, which is arguably the best wide receiver, a top three. I mean, we all agree he's a top three.
All right, then he's just a bad quarterback, right? Like, what's the excuse then? Like,
bad play calling. It's either him getting used to the system or bad play calling. I think it's one of the two.
Well, here's the thing. I'll mention this is remember when Shanahan was there? They weren't great in their first year. It took him almost two seasons for him to really feel comfortable.
Yes.
The thing is when you install a new offensive coordinator, it's not going to click right away. And I'll agree that this is a quarterback league and it helps to have guys around you. But Carson Wentz is a top 10 quarterback right now. It may seem like we have less elite quarterbacks, but I also think we're caught in the middle here of you've either got really old, like Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers is actually getting up there versus really young. You don't have a lot of those middle of the road guys where they're in their 29 to 30 age seasons. Philip Rivers is up there too. You have a lot of guys that are either really old or really young. You don't have that middle ground so much.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that the Super Bowl didn't have anything to do with it. I think it had something to do with the way he's playing right now, but I don't think it's everything. I don't think it was like what happened to Cam Newton. For me, like I said, it's the play call, and that's why I'm not calling for Steve Sarkisian's firing right now. It's because it takes time to get used to that system. I wouldn't fire him this season at all because it takes a season sometimes to get used to, for the quarterback to get used to the offense that the offensive coordinator is using. So I wouldn't, like I said, I wouldn't call for his firing or anything right now.
Sarkisian has to figure it out. Otherwise, he needs to be out because something is just wrong. There's no way you don't lose any of those offensive pieces and go from being one of the best all-time offenses to being this.
To one of the worst.
Exactly.
Moving on.
That's the way it is.
Moving on to our next game. Big game in Panthers-Buccaneers. Huge game, really. Because I don't think the NFC South is going to produce two playoff teams. I think that right now the Saints have pretty much locked it up. And I don't think that the Falcons are going to rebound super well. And I don't think either of these two teams are going to rebound super well. But it's a big game because it basically determines who stays in the hunt. It's like the playoffs, just making sure they stay in the hunt. I think that the Panthers win this game. I don't know if I'm super confident in that pick because Cam Newton hasn't played great, but I feel like the Panthers have a better defense. I feel like the Buccaneers have quietly had one of the worst defenses this year, and I think that Cam Newton can throw on them, and I think they can finally get the run game going against a bad Buccaneers defense.
I'll agree. I don't think it's been quietly one of the worst defenses in the NFL. Everybody's kind of known it. They've had a lot of issues. But a lot of it's come from the secondary. The safeties and the corners have been absolutely just trash. and they're running into this issue where they can't defend anyone. And their pass defense has been one of the worst. I think as bad as and inconsistent as Cam Newton has been, we're going to see Devin Funchess break out again. I think we're going to see Curtis Samuel and Christian McCaffrey get a lot of work. I don't have faith in Kelvin Benjamin and Ed Dixon and Jonathan Stewart, but I think they're going to be able to find enough offense against that bad Buccaneers defense to win the game. I've got the Panthers.
I do too. I have pretty. I mean, it's going to be Panthers. Panthers are going to win this game because the Buccaneers defense just got too many injuries, and I just don't trust them. And I haven't. Mike Smith ran all defenses here lately. I don't know. They're just inconsistent. And that's why, for me, I'm going to take the Panthers. I don't trust Cam Newton. I'm not saying I trust the Panthers either. This is a toss-up for me. I'm going to take the Panthers.
I got to go with the Panthers. I think they have a better defense than the Bucks. I feel like who has the better defense. They're, both of these teams are so inconsistent. I can't see either of them making a playoff run or even potentially making the playoffs. I got to go Panthers. Like Chris said, it's a toss.
Moving on to
I do have one last thing. Before, I don't think it's actually going to be all that close now that I look. You've got Brent Grimes, Robert McClain, and Josh Robinson all out. That's two of your top three cornerbacks for the Buccaneers. This could actually be more of a blowout, but it's still the Bucs game to lose, I think.
Yeah, I would. For me, if the Panthers lose this game, it's more concern for Carolina, because if the offense doesn't show up against that Buccaneers defense, then the offense just something's wrong if they don't put up a good game against that Buccaneers defense.
Moving on to our next game, and a fun fact noticing here, all these bad games are in the morning, so if you want to go ahead and sleep in on Sunday, and all you really need to watch is these afternoon games, because there's another really good afternoon game in Texans and the Seahawks. A prove it game for Deshaun Watson, go into Seattle and try to beat a great defense, an offense that, though they are missing offensive line pieces, the past 2 weeks has really started to kind of get it together and figure things out like the Seahawks do, versus a defense that will really be first facing its first test without J.J. Watt and Whitney Mercilus. So let me ask you guys, where do you come down on this game? I'm inclined to go with Seattle. I think Russell Wilson has one of his best games of the year.
I'm really torn because we've seen a lot of Deshaun Watson, but he's been flashy, but he hasn't been consistent or great. He's been able to put up great numbers, but there's been times where he's had rookie mistakes. He's had rookie throws. I mean, it's not a question. And Seattle is finally starting to get it around. This is usually the time that Russell Wilson and Doug Baldwin start turning it on, start finding the connection. I don't know why it takes them 7 to 8 weeks every year to do it, but they do it. I'm going to go with, I've got Seattle just for the simple fact that it's at home. I think that's going to be a very difficult spot for Deshaun Watson to really play in, as good as he's looked. Seattle's defense hasn't been the Legion of Boom that we saw a few years ago, but they're still definitely strong. I've got a lot of issues with it, but I still have to take Seattle in this game.
Yeah, Seattle's the favorite, and they should win. Deshaun Watson's been fairly inconsistent, as you said, John. And that's why I'm going to go with the safe bet, and I'm going to take the Seahawks. I think it's going to be a very, very low-scoring game because both defenses are very good. Like I said, I'm going to take the Seahawks in a low-scoring game, 15-9, something like that.
Man. This is tough. I mean, I don't even know what's going on with the Texans right now. With all that drama, DeAndre Hopkins didn't even show up for practice today. But I got to go Seahawks. I mean, I think it's Russell Wilson is coming a lot. Like, he's looking very good. That defense is still very good. And I think it's going to be Deshaun Watson's first real test. I'm going 21-15.
21-15. That's a good score. So has everyone made their picks here?
Yes.
All right. Moving on to what was the PSF game of the week, the Cowboys and the Redskins. And let me tell you why this is a huge game. And this one, whereas the Panthers and Buccaneers may not have had playoff aspirations, this game is basically a playoff game because if Dallas wins, they are in excellent position to be a wild card team in the NFC because they still have to play the Eagles twice. And I wrote a bold predictions piece today saying that the Cowboys could run the table, and I could see it happening. The hardest team they have to face is really the Eagles at this point with the way who they are playing plays out. They've faced their toughest schedule up to now, and especially if the Chiefs' defense is as bad as it has been, I think that the game 2 weeks from now, or I believe a week from now, with the Chiefs and the Cowboys in it, shapes up to be a massively great game to watch if you love offense. But that's in the future. The time is now for the Washington Redskins. If they lose this game, they have lost not once, not twice, but three times in the division. And that really hurts your chances of being a wild card team. People forget that in week one they lost to the Eagles. So if they lose this game, they're 0-3 in the division, and that does not bode well for a team who's going to have to scratch and claw to get every win they can to make a second wild card spot type of appearance. So for me, the Dallas Cowboys offense is playing as well as it did last year. I think this is the Dallas Cowboys we expected from the very beginning. And Tristan, I'll start with you. Who do you have in this game, and can Dallas keep it up?
Dallas has gotten much better. I mean, they're still so atrocious, and I still can't see them winning more than one playoff game. But I'm going to go with the Redskins solely because I like their defense to kind of slow down a little bit what they have over there in Dallas, but I feel like it's going to be a high-scoring game. Washington 35, Dallas 31. I think it's going to be a very good football game.
Yeah, I would agree with you there, too. Not with the outcome. I just don't – Washington just – offensively, they'll be high 1 week, and then they'll just drop to bottom low another week, especially last week example against the Eagles. So in that case, I'm scared to pick the Washington Redskins. So I'm going to pick the Dallas Cowboys. They're riding high. I think we shouldn't credit their last opponent too much, even though it was a 40-10 win. Their offensive line, they got a big run game going, but I don't – San Francisco's defensive line is what you want to take it as. It's not very good. But I still think they can get a run game going against the Redskins. And if they get a run game going, we know what's going to happen. Cowboys 28-24.
I've personally got Dallas. I'm really high on Dak Prescott and what he's shown this year. They've had to open up the playbook for him a lot this year, something that we really didn't see last year. Ezekiel Elliott's been effective, but he hasn't been the same effectiveness that he was in 2016. Now, a lot of that seems to be on the offensive line because they lost a couple of guys this past offseason. It's not as good as it used to be. It's still up there. And he's definitely not a game manager, Eric.
I was actually typing in our because if there hasn't been enough heat between me and Chris already, how's it feel now, buddy? I put him as a top 10 quarterback, and that's definitely what he is right now. So, how's the whole game manager thing going?
He hasn't been a game manager. He hasn't thrown for over 300 yards in any of his last five games. But he's put up three touchdowns in the last three games and one interception. So right now, over the last three games, 9 touchdowns to 2 interceptions. He's been effective. not a game manager because he's thrown 36 times, 36 times, and 25 times. So they've given him the ball.
Tristan, and I really like him. Just to fill you in, Tristan, ever since the beginning of the show, a major subplot, and really, I think the basis of all our marital problems between me and Chris is that he just doesn't know what a good quarterback is, and he refuses to admit that Dak Prescott is a top 10 quarterback. He seems to think he's a game manager. He thinks he's somewhere between 17 to 18, and John has always been the mediator. At the beginning of the year, John thought he was a game manager, but now he's on my side. He's come around. He's seen the light, and I just want to –
What
wanna
you going off? Two games?
Is Dak Prescott a game manager, Tristan?
That's interesting. Last year, I definitely thought Dak was a game manager. I've seen him open up the playbook. I like Dak, but here's what I have to say about that. I want to see Ezekiel Elliott get suspended. I want to see how Dak plays when Zeke's not there, because I think when you take away the threat of the run, teams are not on Prescott's arm. That's how I feel about it. I mean, you saw what happened in America. Ezekiel Elliott might as well have been suspended. So let's see how he does when Zeke's not in the lineup.
Yeah, but that's Denver's defense. That can happen to any offense against them.
Yeah, but, I mean, that was the worst one yet. I mean, look at what the Giants did to the
look
Denver
at what,
defense.
But look at – this is what goes gets lost. Dak Prescott didn't have an awful game in that game. In garbage time, he threw two touchdowns and almost brought – there was a point at that game late in the third quarter where you thought the Cowboys were going to come back.
Okay, so I need to interrupt. Eric, in week two, you told me, you said, well, Dak Prescott might be a game manager.
Might. The keyword there being might.
And 4 games later now, you're definitely saying he's not. You are missing so much off 2, 3, 4 games.
No, I'm telling you right now, his entire
off a season.
Hey, I can guarantee you, just like I guarantee you that the Dolphins are going 0-5 to start next season, I can guarantee you that for the rest of his career, Dak Prescott will not be a game manager. And let me tell you what, I'm predicting it right now. Dak Prescott ends with more Super Bowl rings than your boy Matt Ryan.
Okay.
End of story.
Oh.
Yeah, I'll bet that. I mean, sure. I mean,
yeah.
It'll maybe happen.
So, I mean.
Just saying.
But
so
all of this ties back to our game. I've got Dallas beating Washington just for the simple fact that I can't trust Washington. I just can't.
Tristan, your pick.
For the Dallas game?
Hmm.
You already picked it.
Picked.
Well, very good. Eric is slowly falling to sleep at his computer. Moving on to what is really our last game of the week, and I'm glad we have another Broncos fan here to lament it with me. The Broncos, the Chiefs, Monday night, a game at the beginning of the year that looked pretty enticing. But the Broncos are coming off, I don't know. Tristan, let's step away from these two fine gentlemen behind me right now. Let's step into the Broncos corner. And let's go down to the street corner. It's kind of cold out here, kind of chilly. Air's a little thin. We're in Mile High. It's a crisp October's night, and we're just sitting, jiving. Perhaps we have a cigarette in our hands, just staring into the pale moonlight and reminiscing about the good old days of Peyton Manning and 50 touchdown seasons. Where are you with the Broncos at this point? I'm pretty much crying myself to sleep every night. What about you?
Oh, well, Simeon's atrocious. I mean, Simeon's not – if we want to talk about a game manager, Simeon's not even a game manager at this point in his career. He's not even good enough to qualify as that. And, you know, last week, perfect example. C.J. Anderson, 4 yards a carry. Why did we only run the ball 10 times?
Yeah, that was an awful game calling decision. I'm going to disagree with Trevor Siemian point. I think Siemian is not he is a game manager basically, cuz when he had talent around him at the beginning of the year and the offensive line was playing good and he had a running back, we were talking about him as like a top 11, top 15 quarterback. I just think that when he doesn't have the weapons around him, he's less than a game manager. But I wouldn't say I'd say he fits the description of game manager perfectly.
Yeah, I mean this part of the schedule is going to be brutal. I think this is where, I mean, this game against Kansas City starts a stretch where you're going to have, after this, you have the two best teams arguably in football right now. I mean, the two teams that many would say are going to the Super Bowl right now. I think it's going to be interesting. But I have an interesting thought on that game coming up on Monday night.
Let's hear it. Spill it.
Well, I did pick the Chiefs in the spreadsheet, but I've been looking at it. I've been listening to all the stuff. I honestly think Denver's going to pull it off. I think this is the perfect matchup for Simeon to regain his vibe. And I think this prediction all is lying on the fact that maybe Emmanuel Sanders will play. I feel like if Emmanuel Sanders plays, the Chiefs defense, you guys were talking about, I mean, is the Chiefs defense as good as it was the past few years? No.
No.
I mean, 30th in the league in defense. It's yuck. I mean, and I think a guy who's going to have a really big game, Demaryius Thomas, I think he's going to get into the end zone finally after, like, it feels like years, Eric. I mean.
Listen, let me tell you my thoughts on Demaryius Thomas. The guy, I don't know. He's ever since Peyton Manning left, and even like Peyton Manning's last year, he has been like a drop machine, and he doesn't look like he's all there. And they gave him this huge contract, and honestly, I think for a higher draft pick, I think you could trade Thomas. I really do. I don't think that he's, I don't know. I don't think he's got it anymore. I think a guy who's going to have a big game and who Vance Joseph said they'd increase the workload of this week is Jamal Charles versus former teammate.
Oh, yeah,
teammate.
I can see.
I think he's going to have a big game. I don't know. You've talked me into it. I think I'm taking the Broncos here. But by the end of the year, I just have – just Broncos related question, and I'm sorry you guys, but sometimes I just need someone who understands the ups and downs of being a Broncos fan. And really, let me go with that question here, Tristan. Would you agree that most of being a Broncos fan is setting your expectations very low and then getting very excited and then being very disappointed?
Exactly. I mean, you look at the Dallas game. I mean, after that, I felt like we were Super Bowl contenders again. And then we lose to the Bills, and then you're like, oh, here's Broncos football. It's back. One game, we'll go out there and we'll play well. The next game, we're not even going to show up. I mean, it's the Broncos fan life, for sure.
Yeah, it's up and down. It's mediocre. Some weeks it's there. Some weeks it's not. I feel like this week, I don't know. This game is so hard for me to pick.
I do think the X factor of the game is going to be Shane Ray. I think he's going to get to Alex Smith a lot.
Yeah, I feel like this really is a must win for the Broncos.
Oh yeah, it is. It's division too, so
I feel like the Eagles is a game they're going to lose, but the Patriots, the Broncos always play really well against the Patriots in Foxborough.
Brady struggles
in Denver. So
in Denver, he struggles in Denver. So
I feel
that game played at
in Denver. Denver. So okay. I feel like if Denver can win this game, if we can get to the Patriots at 4-4 and then beat the Patriots, I consider that a successful season. Even if we went like 9-7 or 8-8, as long as we beat the Patriots, I think there's hope. But I'm really looking forward to the Patriots game. I'm ready to fast forward to then.
Well, I remember 2 weeks ago when the Broncos were locked to make the playoffs, according to you.
Listen, locks change from week to week. That's basically what a lock is. We'll shut up and we'll throw it to our two non-Broncos fans. Who you guys got?
Johnny there.
Yeah. So, personally, this one's really tough for me because I like the Chiefs. I like everything they've done for the most part this year. Andy Reid has been going to the pass way too early these last few games, and I have an issue with that because they have a good, solid run game. I think a lot of it might have been the offensive line woes they had the last couple weeks, but I believe Duvernay Tardif is supposed to be back at their right guard spot. And something that I actually found interesting, as much as I like the Chiefs in this game, I'm not super confident about it because in the 9 games against the Broncos, Alex Smith averages about 220 yards and he's got 10 touchdowns to 6 interceptions, but he also hasn't had this much talent around him in the past few years. So as bad as Alex Smith has been against the Broncos, I'm going with the Chiefs. I think he has a real bounce-back game here for the first time in his career against the Broncos. So let's go Chiefs. And Kareem Hunt, my boy, will be running all over that defense.
Listen, I think people are underselling Alex Smith. Even though they lost that game, the best part of the Chiefs was Alex Smith. He had 300-plus yards and, like, 3 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. He had, like, a career day. If they won that game, we'd be talking about him as an MVP candidate.
This game's very interesting for me. The Broncos, we've seen what they've done the last 2 weeks. I don't need to announce it. But the Chiefs, I wouldn't say they've played well either. For me, the Chiefs, they really need to win this game for the Chiefs. They really need to win this game. Division game, they just lost to the Raiders Thursday night last week. Division game. So I think this game is I don't want to say must win, but for me it is a must win. And I just don't trust Trevor Siemian. He's so inconsistent, but if he's going to bounce back, I think it's going to be this game. I'm just going to stick with the safe bet. I'm going to pick the Chiefs 24-14, but I do think this could be a good game, and I do think the Broncos could come back and win this game after their 2-week slide.
All right. Well, that does it for us here today. Tristan, hey, thanks for coming on, man. We know that you work as a humbled jewel salesman at night. Don't know how you got into that business. Crazy stuff. Don't deal with just the jewel economy right now in America. Very good. So good luck to you in that venture, good sir. So we hope to have you back on another time.
Oh, I will for sure. It was fun. I enjoyed it. Thank you.
Hey, no problem, bro. We will see y'all on Friggity Tuesday. Friggity Tuesday.
Or Monday.
Also, possibly. Maybe Monday. Next week, we might have 3 shows because it's mid-season and we might do something fun. So stay tuned. Anyways. For John Butler, J Butler, PSF on Twitter, Chris Crestane at Chris PSF on Twitter, and Tristan, you can plug yourself here
at Tristan Beckman on Twitter.
Awesome. Give them all a follow. Follow us on Twitter at Endzone Pod. Like us on iTunes. Give us a 5-star review. Leave a comment. Maybe we'll read it on the show. Who knows? See you all on Tuesday. Good night.
Have a good night.
And peace out. And that was an awful way to end this show. Hope you all have a good weekend.